Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time. You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
game time!
Well, good afternoon, family and friends. I am back. I am M.E. Scott, your host of the Parents Coach Parent Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, today we're going to talk about something that I think is very important. I heard a few pieces of conversation earlier in the week, and I've been talking about it with a few friends of mine over the last few months or so, and this issue and topic and subject has really, really grown and has caught a lot of attention. So as a result, I think it's time for us to talk about it here on Blog Talk Radio on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Hey, if you want to call in, you got a comment or concern or whatever, you want to just talk about what we're talking about here today, you can give us a call at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. You know, I can't go on and kick my show off without hearing a little something from my man, Mr. Keith Wright, a senior at the University of Harvard. Keith wrote this little piece for me. I give him props every time I have to play it to make sure that we know this is a student athlete that's talking about making smart cool. Let's hear it, Keith. Where you at?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making small moves. That's how I do.
That he's making smart moves. Making smart moves. Let that stick with us, then, family. Let that stick with us, because that's the most important piece that we need to pass on to our student athletes, to our children, as I like to say here on the Parents Coach Parent Network, making smart cool. But, my topic for today, I don't know how many of you had a chance to catch Tom during the morning show this week, if you listened to that station, but if you didn't, also there was an article in the New Yorker, and the article was entitled "The Cartel: Inside the Rise and Imminent Fall of the NCAA." The cartel, that kind of sounds a little gangsterish. The cartel, inside the rise and imminent fall of the NCAA. I'd like to hear your sides on this or your thoughts on this. Please give us a call today at 646-929-2416. Feel free to chime in at any given time, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. But we're going to talk a little bit about this subject today, because there were some things that came out in this little piece that really, really caught my attention, and I have to give kudos to Mr. Taylor Branch, a Pulitzer Prize winner, who wrote this piece. And he basically just let you know that, there's some things going on in the NCAA that seriously needs to be looked at. Seriously needs to be looked at. If oftentimes NCAA being big business, or college sports being big business. You know, college sports, yes, that is true. College sports is big business. I have a young man that's in college now, and many of you that listen to this show have young children that are in college. I shouldn't say young children, but children that are in college. And oftentimes, we look at some of the things that they go through and some of the things that they have to deal with. I say to myself, and say to many others often, that look at this. Let's look at this from this perspective, okay? For those of you that understand me and know where I'm coming from, and we've had conversations from time to time, you'll understand where I'm coming from on this point here. And those of you who don't, I invite you to give us a call and we can truly discuss it. Well, let's look at it from this perspective, okay? You have your child, a good athlete, you know, phenomenal, as they like to label them and title them all-star, blue chipper, whatever name they want to put on, okay? Highly prospect, you know, prospect, highly ranked, you know, all that kind of stuff. Anything to boost it up to give that child a little bit more marketable skills or marketable attention, okay? So now we have this child that's a student, that's an athlete, and he's trying to pursue his career and go on and do bigger and better things in life. Okay, so now we have this child, as I said, and your community at home, that is one of the most valuable commodities or valuable assets that you have. I shouldn't say commodity because then it turns into a dollar figure, and I don't want to do that. I want to keep it on a realistic side of things and make sure that we understand we are talking about our children. But that child is still a valuable asset in your family structure. You want to ensure that that child has every opportunity to succeed in life. You want to make sure that that child has every opportunity to fulfill his or her dreams. So as a result, you want to try to do everything you possibly can to make sure that your child has that opportunity. But at the same time, many of us, you know, we often have to look at it, many of us, you know, these athletes, they get out there, our children, they get out there, and I say our children because I have one that may be going into that hopefully makes it to the next level here real soon, somewhere. And even so, if he does, he does. If he doesn't, at least he'll still have his college degree and still be able to be a professional in life either way. But going back to what I was saying, that child is a valuable asset in your family structure, a valuable asset not only in your family structure but also in the community, because that's how we continue to have our communities grow and other folks prosper from life lessons and things like that in the community just based upon watching some of the other younger children grow up and become citizens, valuable citizens or successful citizens in society. But when you have a time where that child grows up and then leaves your community and forgets all about your community, then we have another problem. So, you know, that wasn't addressed here in this book or in this article, but that's something that's been on my mind for a number of years, and I've also discussed it with others here on the Parents Coach Your Parents Network, that, you know, you have these athletes, they grow up and, you know, become successful and forget all about where they came from and how they got to where they were at. You know, sometimes first thing that a lot of folks think of, okay, well, you know, go buy mama a big house or buy daddy a car or whatever. All that's material things that can be here today, gone tomorrow just that quick. You know, let's start some intergenerational wealth going on here. Let's start something that's going to be long-sustaining, valuable assets to the family. And that child, life lessons that he or she learned while they were playing sports and at the same time attending college, is valuable lessons that need to be given back to their younger siblings, if they have any, or their younger family members, cousins, nieces, nephews, whoever, as a lifelong experience, a lifelong lesson. But let's talk about this more about the cartel, the inside, the rise and imminent fall, as Mr. Branch stated, imminent fall of the NCAA. And in other words, he's telling you at some point in time, the NCAA is going down and they're going to fall. So he talks about that, and he talks about how, you know, the NCAA has become big business, you know, big business. And it has become big business on the backs of our young men. It's become big business, huge business on the backs of our young men. So that tells me right off the bat, we've let part of our asset, our family asset, get away from us. Most valuable asset that you have in your family structure. You know, somebody will look and once say, okay, well, you know, identify some of your assets. You know, a lot of times we'll talk about our house, or we'll talk about, you know, some land that we own or property or whatever. What about our family members? Family members are assets because they have priceless things that they can bring back and share and put into the family. You know, so let's look at it from that standpoint. But going back to the cartel, you know, Mr. Brand starts out by saying, you know, college athletes are not slaves. Are not slaves. And, you know, when I say that, I'm not talking about, you know, just strictly the African-American athlete. I'm talking about all college athletes. I'm talking about all college athletes. And if you look at it from the standpoint, your two major revenue sports in college is football and basketball, you know, largely made up of African-American athletes. But the focus is not on that. The focus is on the two major revenue sports and how these athletes, how our children are making these universities and corporations, you know, turn this thing into a big business, and they're being well compensated. Meanwhile, it's all on the backs of our young men. You know, our young men are being deprived of their rights of due process, which is guaranteed to them by the Constitution. I'll say that again. Our young men are being deprived of their rights to due process, which is guaranteed by the Constitution. In other words, you go out there and you perform a service, you should be compensated. Is that not what they're doing? Aren't they performing a service? Okay, well, let's go back to the argument. Well, they're being compensated because they're getting an education. All right. How many of them young men do not get that education? How many of them young men, after the school is done with them, leave the school with a paper-only degree? Yeah, it was their choice to make that decision to take them classes, so on and so. We can argue, we can go back and forth all day on this issue. But I still say at some point in time there should be some form of compensation. You know, we go on and we talk about it's almost like a plantation setting. You know, you're performing a service and there's no pay for that service. You know, you talk about some of the scandals and violations that took place over the last few years, everything that's popped up in the news over the last 2 or 3 years, you know, everything from the Reggie Bush situation all the way through to Miami. Reggie Bush, Cam Newton, Ohio State, you know, UConn came into play, Kansas came into play, USC was in there, you know, all these different schools. I can go on and just pull up a list of violations that have popped up in the NCAA over the last few years, you know. the last couple of years. Actually, over the last year, just talking about some of the situations that popped up in the news, and they're constantly popping up. I have set my Google for any time an NCAA violation pops up to send that message to me. And I'm looking at a total of, I'm going to tell you when I started the Google Alert and how many messages I have, a total of 687 messages. And I may have already read a few of them, or read quite a few of them, and they're probably deleted them or combined them with other actions that I was working on. But I started this, the Google Alert, and sending me the messages on violations. I'm going to tell you the exact date that I started, and since then I've had, like I said, 687 alerts pop up. I started this in June of 2010. And since then, again, I say 687 alerts have popped up. And these alerts talk about NCAA violations. And it is discussed everything from the, like I said, UConn situation to a little bit on what was going on with Duke to Miami to Ohio State to all these other schools, you know, that had these violations going on. But getting back to, you know, the article that recently came out, you know, it's bad that the NCAA has taken on this stance or this position on college sports. You know, it's almost like a blood-sucking position. And I hate to put it that way and so bluntly, but the truth is the truth. You know, back, I want to say the early 80s, where you had everyone was complaining about, you know, the NCAA getting involved and getting involved with these TV stations to authorize television to be part of the program. You know, everybody was thinking, and that was part of the statement that the, Mr. Branch made on the Tom Joyner Morning Show. And if I get a chance, I'm going to pull up that excerpt and play a little bit of that as well. But continue to talk about what we were talking about. You know, that information came out back in the 80s, and then they worried about, okay, well, is television going to take away from sports? You know, because now you're going to televise everything. Start televising college sports as much as you do. And what happened, the decision was, okay, we're going to start getting paid for televising some of these sports. And once we're getting paid, now everyone seems to be getting paid from these sports being televised, which it didn't destroy the programs. It actually took the program to another level. And as a result, what do you have now? You have a situation where all the adults in this industry seems to be getting well compensated, with the exception of the student athletes. Think about that now. The one that's out there doing all of the work, okay, coaches are sitting there putting together the game plan, all that kind of stuff, I understand that. But the ones that are sitting there doing the majority of the work, large percentage of the work, the sweaty part of the work, are the ones that are not getting compensated whatsoever. Is that a fair thing to look at? Meanwhile, the NCAA is getting paid hand over fist. The institutions are getting paid hand over fist. Again, if you want to give us a call, you can reach us at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. We're talking about the cartel inside the rise and imminent fall of the NCAA. I heard a piece of it this past week on one of the local disc jockey, not local disc jockey, but one of the nationally syndicated radio talk shows, and thought it was interesting and thought it would be something we need to talk about here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. You know, again, talking about the billion-dollar business. you know, the billion-dollar business. Let's look at this, the billion-dollar business. Why is it that this being a billion-dollar business, sport industry, you know, and at some point in time I heard the report, total sport industry is close to $5 billion a year, not every 5 years, you know, you got a total sum of $5 billion a year, okay? So you figure college sports got to be bringing in a large portion of that, and then professional sports bringing in the other portion. But even with it being a billion-dollar business, why do our children not receive some type of workman's compensation? Because if they get workman's compensation, then you have to say that they are actually employees of the institution, and now they're getting paid, and they no longer go from the status of being an amateur, now they're in the status of being a professional. Well, somewhere along the line, we got to figure out this here dilemma. Because back in the 1950s, when they came up with this, Walter Byers, who was the first NCAA executive director, he was the NCAA executive director from 1951 to 1988. They crafted the term student athlete. And once they came up with that term was put in every piece of publication, rules, articles, interpretations, everything that the NCAA can possibly put out there, the term student athlete. And why did they come up with this term student athlete? The term student athlete, you know, is broken down to say the players were not students at play, which might understate their athletic obligation. You know, they're not just out there playing, you know, they're regular students out having, because that might undermine or understate their athletic obligation, you know, to go out there and perform at the best of their best. Nor are they just athletes in college, because that might imply that they were professionals. So the term student athlete came about. You know, they had to seriously think about that, because if you didn't combine the two, then one or the other says, okay, hey, he's just a student. What makes him different from any other student? Or he's an athlete. So why is he receiving scholarship money to attend this class, again, attend the school? Again, if you want to talk to us, give us a call, 646-929-2416, 646-929-2416. But the meat of this whole thing, with the term student-athlete coming into play, you know, when Mr. Byers wrote it back in the 1950s, was when the widow of Ray Dennison, who died of a head injury while playing football in Colorado for the Fort Lewis A&M Aggies, filed a workman's compensation death benefit. They filed a workman's comp death benefit. Yeah, that's right. They put in some insurance papers to get paid because this gentleman died of a head injury while playing football in Colorado at Fort Lewis and the Aggies. So, as a result, you know, the NCAA fought it and everybody else fought it, and as a result, the individual did not get paid, okay? But did the football scholarship make the fatal collision? Did the football scholarship make the fatal collision a work-related accident? That was the argument when it finally went to court. Okay, if you realistically look at it, if you're talking about what they're doing while they're out there, if they're talking about, you know, the sport is a big business, then yes, who's in this business, who are the employees of this business. It can't be just the coaches by themselves, because the coaches are not out there competing. Who is in this big business? You know, let's look at it from this situation. Let's look at a young lady that's attending college on an athletic scholarship and during her off season becomes pregnant. What happens then? I would love to hear from some female athletes that have experienced this and learn more about it. Hopefully I can get Ms. George on soon that talks about the field female field game, and hopefully she'll call in here real soon, or we'll have a little show with her, and she'll give us some insight on this particular issue. But, you know, what happens then? A lot of people say, well, she should no longer have her scholarship. Okay, if she's a good player, you think the school's going to want to keep her around if she's a valuable player? At that point, do like the men do. You afford the opportunity to do 4 seasons in 5 years. So you got a redshirt year in there. So you take on a medical redshirt, have the child, and then go on back to playing if that's what you so desire, and finish your scholarship and continue to go to school while you're going through your pregnancy period. You know, and that sometimes goes different ways. You know, athletes are sometimes pressured to drop out of school at that point and all this other kind of stuff. So we have to really look at this from a standpoint of we need to really protect our children. We need to really be aware of what's going on with our children and make sure that they are being fairly treated. You know, is the education the true compensation? I would question that. Or are they being exploited? That's 2 questions to you. Is the education the true compensation, or are they being exploited? You know, Frank Dufour from Sports Illustrated stated on NPR that this here article, The Cartel Inside the Rise and Imminent Fall of the NCAA, is the most important college sports story written to date. You know, if you get a chance, you go out there and check it out. I'm going to give you the name of it again, The Cartel Inside the Rise and Imminent Falls of the NCAA. Go out there and check it out. And he also has the ebook version out there. You can download that ebook version. I think it's like $3 or $4 or something like that to download it. But it is a valuable piece of material for you to put into your library if you have a child that's heavily involved in sports and would like to participate in college sports at some point in time. You know, I think that there's going to be some major changes and some new directions that college sports are going to be taking on here in the real near future. Excuse me. You know, I had the pleasure of sitting with some gentlemen this past week, and they're talking about some things going on at some of the historically black colleges and universities. But as more and more of that comes about and more of that is made available, I will definitely share it with the founders of the Parents Coach of Parents Network and definitely make sure I keep you involved and informed. You know, as always, we like to say we're here. Our mission is your success. Our mission is your success. So on that note, I'd like to say we thank you again here on the Parents Coach of Parents Network. And if nothing else, we're going to close out with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith, where you at? Let's take it home.
It's almost time. You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down. Cruise, man. Yeah. Hey, you go.
What's the student of the game. Had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just